Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Turn your Bibles tonight to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3 tonight of a message titled The Blessing of Praise. And it's kind of that thing that I repetitively over the course of things try to hit with that attitude of praise, that attitude of thanksgiving. We should live in that continual state of that. But really, it kind of helps us, this message tonight will kind of help us realize that, and that's the Bible verse that says, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What is your mouth? Is it a wellspring of life? Is it a wellspring of peace, joy, hope, love? Or is your mouth a wellspring of complacency, indifference, apathy, insecurity, fear, faithlessness? What is your mouth a wellspring of? Is your one that a mouth that encourages others? Is your mouth one that challenges others to growth in Christ? Is your mouth one, Bible talks about magnifying the name of Christ? Well, we think about magnifying, so what does that mean? Well, what do you do when you take a magnifying glass out? What does that do? It makes things bigger. So as a follower of Christ, the very essence of our being should be to magnify the name, the person, and the work of Christ, meaning to make it big, to basically like a speaker does, to send it out, to make it bigger. And we should become smaller. Lord, let me decrease so that you might increase. I think it's one of those songs that I sang, I guess, a couple of years ago. Lord, you be lifted high. Jesus, you be lifted high in my life, O God, as I fall to my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high. I love that song. It's such a powerful reminder that it's not about us. It's about us becoming smaller so that the glory, majesty, and the person and work of Christ might be magnified, might be exalted. But again, tonight's message is the blessing of praise. That's the title of it. I hope you found Psalm chapter 34. We'll look at verses 1 through 3. And if you're able, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's word. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim Yahweh's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. Father, I thank you, God, tonight again for this privilege we have to worship you, Lord, to exalt you, God, to glorify you, and the blessing of what it is to praise your name. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that your word would go forth in power. Lord, speak to our hearts as only you can. God, challenge us, encourage us, Lord. Father, rebuke us if that may be the case. Whatever it is, Lord, to bring us into the perfect plan you have for us, into the place of perfect joy, peace, hope, and the love of Christ. Lord, we commit all this to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, verse 1, I will praise the Lord at all time. His praise will, as some versions I like, it says, continually be in my mouth. Some versions say, this one says, his praise will always be on my lips. It says the same thing, but some of those versions, some of those ways that you hear it really kind of stick in your mind. The first thing I want to share with you comes out of verse 1 there, and it's this: is your mouth a fountain of continual praise? It's a question. Is your mouth a fountain of continual praise? Let me turn on the TVs. Maybe they've got it streaming now. I don't know. Maybe they had with Matt teaching tonight, might not be in there. Let's find out. I don't think so. That's okay if not. We can watch Andy Griffith. Okay, that's all right. Y'all can write. I'll just say it slower. You know, see, it's a blessing of knowing how much the media team means. And when they're not there, how much I miss it. I know I do. I miss it. Is your mouth a fountain of continual praise? It's a question we all have to ask. Are the words of your mouth and meditations of your heart pleasing and acceptable in the Lord's sight? Is the essence of when someone says, hey, do you have a family? Oh, yes. You know what? God has blessed me with a family. I've got a wonderful wife, or if you're a lady, a wonderful husband. And, you know, I'm so blessed. Here's my children. And, you know, maybe I've got one or two that are not walking with the Lord, whatever it might be. But, you know, God has blessed me. And I know that the Bible promises to train up a child the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. What is that doing? Not only is it being honest that, you know what? Sometimes we want to hide when a child's not acting right. Why would we want to do that? Because what that opens an opportunity for is someone else to pray. But also in sincere honesty and the lack of pride that wants to not let anybody know that, oh, I got a child that might not be acting right. There's pride in that when we do that. And what it is, we're ashamed that they may think that there's some kind of nick in the chink of our family armor. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The prodigal son's father was a very godly man. And he had a young son that decided he didn't want to live the way he wanted to live, and that father sent him out. There was no shame in that father's life, because we see when that father came, saw that son coming up the road, pulls up his robe and runs to him. A very disgraceful thing for a man of his stature to do. They don't run. You dare not run, because you'd have to pull up basically the big long cloaks that they wore. That would have been a shameful thing for him to do as a community leader. He didn't care. He was willing to shame and embarrass himself because his lost son was repentant and had come home. So that's that thing. Is your mouth a fountain of continual praise, sharing the beauty and blessing of what God's done in your life? You know, do you share? You know, I've been in God's Word, and as my mother, I'm telling you every time, she'll share something. Sometimes I don't have the time to sit and hey, my mom, I'll talk to you about this later. I'm right in the middle of something, I'll call you back. You know, mama's excited about it, though. She wants to share. You know, she wants me to stop right then if she's seen some praise thing on TV or if something special comes on. It's like mama thinks I should freeze my life, get online and watch whatever it is that's online, you know, right then, because, I mean, it means the world to her. But you know what? I love it because my mother's heart is pure in it. She is boasting about what God's doing, boasting about what Jesus is, the Word, what the power of God's doing. She loves the Amplified Bible. If my mother was a Bible salesman right now, she'd be their top seller. For whatever reason, and every time she says that word, Amplified Bible, the only thing I say, yeah, mama, it's about to be really good. And you think Amplified, right? That's what I think. That's what I always say, because, you know, you think Amplify, it's loud. And my mother texts. Remember, she texts in all capitals. And when you text in all capitals, you are shouting something. So then I think my mama's in the Amplified Bible. Now she's amplified her phone texting too. But she's always excited about those things. But to me, it's that picture of being a fountain of continual praise. Her desire is to magnify the name of Christ, the work of God, what God's Spirit is speaking to her heart, what the Word is saying, how God's encouraging, challenging her. You'd almost wonder, though, now, wait a minute, does she not start off the conversations with how she's feeling? Never, ever does she. I always have to say, hey, Mom, how did your appointment go? Because if you talked to my mother on the phone, you would never know that there was anything wrong with her. She will never complain, ever. Now, if you talk to her on the phone, and then she always asks, how can I pray for you? So share what it is that I'd ask her to pray for me. And then I'll say, Mom, how can I pray for you? Well, I've got the doctor's appointment I'm going to be going to. You know, God's got this. It's no big thing. You know, I will have to pry, though, for that. Because what does my mama want to do? She wants a fountain of continual praise. That's what she wants. And it has been a lesson to me in how to allow the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, how to live above your physical condition, how to live above pain, how to live above all of these things that if they take us captive, we become a slave to misery. Satan will make sure that everything about us is focused on us if we let him do that. We've got to take our real estate. When I talk about the brain, it's real estate. Miss Linda, you know about real estate. What happens when somebody squats? They get to sit on an area that they are not entitled to. Satan is a notorious squatter. He loves when we are not guarding the property to squat on an area of our mind, take it captive, and keep us focused on what we should not be focused on by something that he had no right to in the first place, but we've allowed him to squat. How hard is it to get a squatter out? Linda would tell you. It is hard. It's sometimes almost impossible. Seems like they many times have more rights to something than the person that owns the property does. Same exact thing with the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, though, of Nazareth, you don't have to go to the courthouse and get an eviction notice or get something saying they can't be there. All you've got to do is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get thee behind me. You have no right over my mind. You have no right over my conscience, my joy, my peace, my hope. Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the great thing. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is an eviction notice that applies to every aspect of our being, our life, our family, our church, our job, and everything else in between. Do you know that? That is truly the name above all names that makes him have to go. Why do we forget that? Isn't it interesting how we forget that? How do I get him to stop messing with my mind? Don't mess around like the sons of Sceva did. Well, I'm reading this devotional, man. I'm hoping that I'm going to get victory over this area of my life. All right, son of Sceva, you ready to get beaten and bloodied and naked and run out that away? That's great. Read a devotional. But you better be in God's Word, and you better be using the power of God's Word. It's great to hear somebody else's encouraging words about what God has spoken in their life. That's wonderful. But don't neglect the Word, the ministry of the Word, the truth of the Word, for someone else's revelation that God has spoken to them. That's what's most important. Use the blessing of praise, the blessing of truth, the blessing of God's Word to do what God's Word does. And that brings victory to us, each and every one of us. So again, is your mouth a fountain of continual praise? And you answer that yourself and then deal accordingly if it's not. Verse 2, I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Second thing that I want to share with you comes from that verse tonight. A mouth that boasts of God's goodness is a source of gladness to others. Again, a mouth that boasts of God's goodness is a source of gladness to others. What do we have to boast about tonight? Well, if you don't have a lot of money, that's okay, because you can boast in the fact that God has done what he promises to meet your needs. Well, I'd be a lot nicer if I had X. Do you want what God doesn't want you to have? Do you want God to give you a king that he doesn't want you to have, so that it'll pull our hearts away from him, just like the Israelites did with King Saul? Just had to have one. Oh God, all these people around us have a king that leads them into battle. Oh Lord, we need a king. He's going to take money from you. He's going to take your children and make them slaves. He's going to take your land. Right? Remember when Samuel goes all through this? Well, that's okay. We want a king just like all these other people. Look what they got. God will give you a king if you want one in your life. You want to serve relationships? You want to serve jobs? You want to serve money? You keep on and keep on and keep on. Oh, well, God won't give it to me unless he wants it, so I'm just going to keep asking. Really? No, you keep on asking after God shuts a door. He'll give you what you want. Don't tell me he won't. You look at the Israelites out there in the desert when they cried out for meat because they were sick and tired of this blessing that God had given them. They were sick and tired of manna. They wanted meat. They cursed their blessings because it wasn't good enough anymore. They cursed their blessings because it wasn't fulfilling anymore. We were sick. Oh, man, just think of all the fish we had. Look at all the vegetables we had back in Egypt. Oh, Lord, if we were only back there in bondage. They forgot about bondage. That's like somebody who gets kidnapped, taken away from their family, and the person was a good cook that was their captive. So they're in captivity for all these years. One day, They make a phone call. The guy messes up. They run out of the house. They go back home. Their parents only have Hungry Jack microwave dinners. And all of a sudden, they find themselves, now, I would consider that more a Stockholm Syndrome type thing, but they end up sitting in their home, longing for the good old days. It's the same thing. A mouth that boasts of God's goodness is a source of gladness to others. You and I can boast in the goodness of God, even in the midst of loss, financial, person that we've lost, jobs that we've lost, retirements that we've lost, anything that we've lost. Because when we understand the goodness of God, we realize that even in Job's situation, in the midst of immense loss, was the revelation of God's goodness and His blessing. Do you know why? Because God's perfect plan was unfolding. Now, let me quantify. If the source of your loss and my loss is a result of foolish, sinful, self-serving choices, don't sit in the midst of that and shout, "Praise the Lord that I'm suffering for Christ." How dare us? Amen? Own your actions. Own them. Own your actions. No matter how painful they might be, own them. You know why? There's no forgiveness and there's no going forward until we take responsibility for our actions and stop trying to dress them up as something spiritual when it is self-centered, self-serving, sinful actions that have brought judgment down on us. Boast in the goodness of God. Even in the midst of trials, be a source of gladness, of joy to others. When you do find yourself, and I find myself in a place of pain from our choices, repent. Own your actions. You know that people are really forgiving? You know that? When you mess up, we mess up. Do you realize that when we own up to it, people are really forgiving, but they're not. When you stand firm and say, "I'm not gonna," they're not so forgiving. I'll just tell you that. They're not. Now listen to verse 3. Proclaim Yahweh's or God's greatness with me. Let us exalt His name. Listen to this. Together. Think about that. It's a corporate praise. Proclaiming God's greatness. Proclaim it with me. God is great. God is awesome. He's good. Let us exalt, meaning lift up. Exalt. Let Him be lifted up. Let's do that together. Final thing I want to share with you tonight is number 3. Magnify the goodness of God, not the sanctuary of self. Self-promotion is a destructive force to the magnification of God. Now, ultimately, God will be glorified. You and I can be a part of it, or we don't have to be. God is going to be glorified, exalted, and lifted up. End of story. So tonight, are we magnifying the goodness of God, or are we lifting up or magnifying the sanctuary of self? Self-service. Getting pity from those around us because we're going through a difficult time and we're suffering for Christ. And instead of saying, "You know, I know God's got a plan and a purpose for this." Or are we crying a river of tears because, "Oh man, if only I didn't have my back, my leg, my neck, my foot, my heart, my head, my whatever. Oh, everything would be wonderful, but oh, woe's me, it's so terrible, everything's awful." You know, just heaping a bunch of misery on ourselves because what a terrible lot we've been cast. What are we doing when we do that? We are doing the work of Satan, truly. I'll just call it for what it is. You know what happens when we do that? Instead of recognizing that God has a divine plan and a purpose for it, as 2 Corinthians chapter 12 clearly shows us that it does. God teaches us, He speaks to us, He refines us, He sifts us greater through adversity than anything else, I believe, as followers of Christ. I really believe that. I believe that the least amount of growth happens in the good times with us. Right? The same way that training. When a person's done and they've just won a marathon and they're relishing in the awards and all the blessing of winning some huge thing that they've worked so hard for. Is any growth happening? No, you're actually going backwards at that time. You're not training. You're in this euphoric period of rest. There's actually going backwards when that happens. The growth, the preparation happens in that daily going forward, running. When you're running and you're lifting weights and things or whatever you're doing, you're training. When you're actually lifting weights, you're tearing, microscopic tears in your muscles. You know that the healing part is when that muscle builds. You know that? Of course, you have the lactic acid that your body releases, so you got to be careful with that because that can actually hurt your kidneys if you do too much of it at once. So you're supposed to do it over a period of time and be very wise in your training if you're going to practice for something, because if not, you can actually hurt your body. But in the no pain, no gain part of that, you're working really hard, striving for something. That's where the growth happens, and that's as followers of Christ. The same thing is true with us. That greatest times of growth occur many times in the deepest of valleys, the darkest of situations, when we literally have stepped out of the boat. We can see absolutely nothing but the face of Christ. We have no ability to understand what next step, how we're going to take it. The only thing we can do is have the faith in knowing that the Savior that we're locked on eyes with has us every step of the way, though it's not comfortable, it's not fun, it's not warm and fuzzy. It is extremely frightening in a sense, because we're trusting that God's going to do His part. And as we struggle with our own faithlessness, it's a battle sometimes. It's a battle because the enemy wants to let the wind blow. And what happens to us sometimes? We do like Peter in the boat. Uh-oh, the wind, what happens? Well, don't worry about that. You're already walking on water. Don't worry about nothing. God's got it. Let Him do what He does best. Magnify the goodness of God. Be overwhelmed with the person and work of Christ. And as you stepped out of that boat and you start to walk on that water, don't worry about anything other than going, God, what an amazing picture of Your power. Lord, You are awesome. You are amazing. You are on the throne. God, thank You for being You. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Why? Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. By the way, the rod and the staff, remember when one of those sheep falls down into somewhere, they take that staff, has the crook on it. You know why? To grab them around the neck and pull them out. So that thing can also be used to crack you upside the head as a disciplinary tool. So that thing that is the source of discipline is also the source of sometimes salvation. The very thing that we fear so much, discipline, correction, is that very thing sometimes that's turned around, and on the other end of it is salvation. Ready? Think about how many of us that God has had to use a rod of correction to bring us to the place of salvation, bring us to the place of brokenness. But also, we don't fear any evil. Why? That rod and thy staff, they comfort us. As a follower of Christ tonight, the blessing of praising God is knowing that He's not going to let us go. If we get out there in left field, He will lovingly bring great amounts of pain to bring us back to that place that He can bless us once again. We don't like to think that. But what? Those the Lord loves, He chastises as a father, a son. You know, the father that disciplines his child is the father that has immense love for his child. My children will tell you, I do not fear discipline. I don't do it and boast in it. but I love my children. I remember when John was growing up, I used to say, this kid's going to hate me one day. I had people, even at church here, that said, man, you are hard on that boy. And I would say, you know what? I'd rather stand before the Lord one day and him say, man, you were a hard taskmaster with your kids. But I want to tell you something. Every act of discipline in my children is one that is done in love. To do what the Bible says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. And the rod of correction, it says, will drive it away. Well, if you know what driving away is, if you've ever had a cattle drive, I will tell you what. They are stubborn, they're bullheaded, and driving cattle is a process that takes time. Folly, that is what? Bound up. What happens if something's bound up? It's hard to get unloose, isn't it? It's hard to unleash it. It won't move. Get an animal that has a chain, has a rope, has something on it. Let it get caught in a small twig, a small bush. Have you ever seen what they can do? I have never in my life seen some things in my life that animals have bound themselves up with. A dog especially that's on a lead, breaks the lead or gets caught in something. We had one ruin a brand new wire with the plastic coating on it. Got caught up in, you ready for this? You know what ironweed is? The dead ironweed? It got about five of those caught together. It had this, it destroyed it. It destroyed this brand new, whatever you call it, dog leash. Yeah. That's what being bound up is. The folly in our children that's bound up. The love of God that we express as parents, we do that because we understand one day, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You realize that our children, and how many times my son has called me since he's gone to Paris Island and said, Daddy, thank you for loving me so much, for being hard on me. I realize what you were doing, and I thank you that now I'm reaping the blessing of what you worked so hard to do for all those years. It's not in vain, church. Don't forget that. It matters, but what it does ultimately is bring your child to the place where they can experience exactly what this says tonight, the blessing of praise. Because what we are, abuse is a totally different story than discipline. Don't forget that. This is what I know tonight, though. The loving discipline that you and I show is the same standard of when we say something, you better do what you say. The reason is God doesn't say, well, I'll let you get away with it 2 out of 10 times or 5 or 8 times out of 10. And, you know, because what happens when we do that with our kids, what do we show them? Well, God's not real serious about it either. Well, God is. That's why when you write a check with your mouth, you need to cash it. If you tell your child, listen, if you do this, you're going to get punished. You're going to get spanked, whatever it is. You better do it, because what you'll do is set them up for spiritual failure if you don't. Amen? The blessing of praise comes out of them understanding one day, you know what? I've got to respect this God. I've got to respect that what God says is truth, and God means what he said the same way that my father, my mother disciplined me. And when they said something, they meant it. They meant it. And you know what's so neat? I understand now that they were trying to show me to the best of their ability the character and nature of God. Because when God says something in his word, it's not disputable. It's going to be the way it is, and it's God's word, and it's set in stone. And we don't go to God and go, well, I don't believe it's fair, God. So I tell parents, don't let your kids sit there and debate with you. No. This is a dictatorship when they're very young. Amen? It becomes democracy when they're older. And you start to help them learn to integrate in life. But when they're really young, listen, we have at our house, hey, we have socialism, the greatest thing. We tell you what to do and you do it. You don't even have there is no option. It's communism. You're going to wear this. You're going to eat this. You're going to bed at this time. It's indisputable. But you know what it teaches them? Hey, same way with God and his word. When God says to do something, you do it. As they get older, what do? You start to let them have the choices. You start to help them try to make their own decisions. And hopefully they're going to be good decisions. But we have to teach them that. What that does ultimately is bring someone to the blessing of praise. Because they can trust God. They can trust His Word. They know that when God says something, there is love built in that. When they see right there the magnify the goodness of God, they know not to magnify the sanctuary of self because they realize that everything spiritually is not based on what we want. It's not based about us. It's based on Christ, on magnifying, lifting up, and honoring His name. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You tonight for Your Word, God. We thank You that we have this awesome blessing and ability to praise Your name. God, I pray that You'd create a mindset, an attitude, Lord, of worship, of blessing, of exalting, glorifying, and lifting up Your name. Father, we thank You for this Sabbath day, Lord, this time we've had to come together. God, I pray that everything that's been said and done has been with the sole intention of bringing glory and honor to Your name, that the glory and honor that You deserve. You are King Jesus, Father. We are Your creation, created to do Your will, Your good works, Father, for Your glory. Go with us now as we go into our mission fields, Lord. Lord, go before us, Father. Open ears and hearts to what You want us to say, Lord. Give us the words to speak, Father. Lord, let us never take credit for what You're doing, God, what You are going to do. Lord, let us humbly lay our lives continually down at Your feet as living sacrifices, pleasing and acceptable in Your sight, Father, our strength and our Redeemer. God, may You be lifted up and honored as You deserve to be, and we give all of this to You and You alone, and we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love y'all.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.